Hurricane Ida's apparently not done yet. For Marketplace in Austin, I'm Andy Euler, and for David Brancaccio. A few days after devastating the Gulf Coast, the remnants of Hurricane Ida brought deadly flooding to New York and New Jersey overnight. Insurers are just beginning to estimate damages from the storm. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live with the details. Nancy, first, what type of damage are we seeing in New York and New Jersey from Ida?
There's massive flooding. It closed most of New York City's subway lines as water poured into underground stations. Other people were stranded on flooded roads. Cars have been submerged in the floodwaters. At least 9 people in New York and New Jersey died. Newark Airport had to temporarily stop flights because of severe flooding, and there are power outages throughout the region.
And how unusual is this flooding?
The National Weather Service issued its first ever flash flood emergency warning for the city of New York, Andy. Another warning was issued for Northeast New Jersey. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio declared a state of emergency last night, calling the storm an historic weather event. And New York and New Jersey, they just don't have the infrastructure to deal with this kind of flooding.
Exactly. And what do we know so far about the cost of damage from Ida? Because that's, I'm sure, trickling up.
I haven't seen any estimates yet of damages in New York and New Jersey, but analysts are tallying up losses in Louisiana, where, of course, there are still massive power outages and gas shortages. Fitch Ratings says insurers could have to pay out $15 to $25 billion from Ida. Now, that's not as bad as damages from Hurricane Katrina back in 2005, when insurers paid out $65 billion. Of course, it will take months to get a final tally of the losses from Ida.
It's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down a bit this morning, almost 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are each up a little more than 0.1%, with the Dow future up 60 points. After dropping a bit on the news that OPEC Plus agreed to keep its policy of gradually returning supply to the market, barrels of both Brent crude and West Texas Intermediate are trading up this morning by about a quarter. Okay, so when was the last time you spoke with a stranger and you were genuinely curious about him, when you took it beyond the standard, how you doing? Now, with the pandemic, it might have been some time ago, but there's an argument that there's great benefit, both personal and professional, in connecting with people that we don't know. Joe Cohane is a journalist and author of the new book, The Power of Strangers. He recently spoke with my colleague, David Brancaccio.
People who aren't especially outgoing, who don't feel they draw a lot of energy from other people, have seen some benefits in working from home during all this. Not interacting with often annoying people, but soon some of us, virus permitting, will be asked to go back to working on company property again. You think we could learn, those of us who've gotten out of the habit or never had the habit, we can learn to interact with people we don't know?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think there's an argument to be made that this is an intrinsic skill to humans, that without developing the ability to talk to strangers and cooperate with strangers, civilization doesn't happen. So it's something that's in us, but I think that social skill, or that suite of social skills, has definitely been eroded first by kind of smartphone culture, and after that, certainly by the coronavirus.
Coronavirus, smartphone culture, but maybe even just the fact that you do a lot of your commerce online and it just comes to your house, you never have to leave.
Yeah, I think that erodes it too. I think there has been a pronounced withdrawal from the company of other people over the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years or so, which has been exacerbated by the ability to push a button on your computer and have whatever you need brought to your house by a faceless person whose life you never encounter, you never come into contact with in any meaningful way. I think that's definitely eroded our social skills as well.
Because you do meet people, not all of them younger people, who will go out of their way to just press a button on their phone to, you know, order something or make something happen rather than pick up the phone or rather than get out there. It seems almost like it's getting worse.
Yeah, I think it probably is. I think COVID exacerbated for sure. I heard this a lot from college professors that they were shocked by the difficulty that young people had in meeting one another and making friends and talking to people in person. And I think, yeah, I think a lot of that is the function of the phone, that you just don't need to work those muscles as much. And talking to strangers is a complicated interaction, right? Like, this is why it's good for us in the same way that exercise is good for us. Psychologists have found that it is actually cognitively demanding to talk to strangers, but they've also found that it can make us smarter. It can actually improve our cognitive function by doing it regularly.
Now, in other guises in your career, Joe, you've met a lot of entrepreneurs, and you know, you think of them all as outgoing 24-hour party people, but that's just not true. Some entrepreneurs, right, are introverted, a bit shy, and you met some who profited by learning to overcome that in terms of being willing to meet people they wouldn't normally?
Yeah, I love that. You know, I was an executive editor at Entrepreneur Magazine for several years, and I realized it at the time, and this is before I did the book, but I kept hearing it from entrepreneurs I spoke to where they had a lot of anxiety about talking to other people, and they knew that they had to force themselves to do it. They had to learn how to do it, and when they did it, it opened a lot of doors for them. But one in particular was a woman who, she's become a very successful construction supervisor. And she said she was a really shy kid, and her father used to force her to call the pizza guy, right? Because she was really uncomfortable talking to the pizza guy. And he said, you're going to call the pizza guy on Fridays. You're going to ask him what we should get. You're going to have a conversation with him. And she credits that to her ability to develop the kind of sophisticated social skills that permit her to work on a major job site.
It was David Brancaccio speaking with Joe Cohane, a New York-based journalist and author of the new book, The Power of Strangers, The Benefits of Connecting in a Suspicious World. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.